Welcome back to Dungeons & Dragons, a D&D podcast. Hopefully, if you have made it this far, then you're enjoying our adventures. Listen on after the show for this week's Jargons episode, where I'll be talking about leveling up. We've also had a request to cover traps, so I will be doing that next. Additional music in this episode was composed by Hallam Smith, who also tutored me through spells and spell slots so that last week's Jargons episode actually made sense. Thanks, dude. Now, where were we? Previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
This dagger? My dagger?
Will really is giving you shifty eyes at this moment.
And I'm not taking the shifty eyes.
Oh yeah, totally sorry. She totally jacked it from that guy. I read that really good perception check that one time. It was great. And I saw you take it off the blue hair guy.
Did you just throw me under the bus?
Yeah. You bus. And then all of a sudden I was getting hit in the face, gracefully rolled over a bar, ended up in a cellar, and now I'm here with you losers, so could somebody please stop blaming me for not helping?
Well, that's the +4 charisma I've been expecting.
Said Chad sexily.
Darla just kind of like stares at your backpack that contains the remains of her and like takes a few steps backwards, looking really warily.
Okay.
And disappears.
69 bottles of meat on the wall. Oh, 69 God. Bottles of meat.
I changed my mind. I do want you to take it. Okay.
So, but is it in such a way that if Itty were to remove their foot, that the wire would be set off? No. If you were to remove your foot from the wire, why is it always limb removal?
So at the bottom of the stairs, you enter a long room. Again, everything is just earth now, so the stairs had some paving stones that you would step on, but they're just like each stone is just resting on an earthen staircase. When you get to the bottom, there is a long room, but it's really wide, and along all of the walls you can see alcoves.
Okay.
It's alcoves.
Alcoves. So these are supposed to be catacombs, right? So I kind of think they're dead
probably
people.
Can we like peek in them just to have a look?
Yeah, so perception check.
Such sadness.
4 minus 3.
3 plus 5 makes 8.
6 plus 1 makes 7.
7 plus 3 is 10.
Okay, so you are correct. This is catacombs. There are very desiccated skeletons in each of the alcoves. When Chad looks into the alcove, their skeleton seems slightly less desiccated. And as you turn to look away, because you've seen nothing, all of the clothes seem to have disintegrated as well. So you can see that there's like no treasure to be had in any of these. They have swords and helmets, but they're in such bad disrepair from ages under the earth that they wouldn't be usable. Chad starts to hear a creaking.
Chad doesn't like it.
And the skeleton that you just examined sits up.
Why?
And then one of the skeletons in the second sort of row also sits up. And then a third one down by the opposite end of the room.
What's at the opposite end of the room?
There's a door. There's okay. Another door. There's always doors.
Do we notice them all sitting up? Or we
so Chad doesn't notice it sitting up okay. Because, you know, you got an unnatural one.
Well, yeah, but would I then see the ones across the room sitting up?
You would probably see those sitting up, yeah.
I'm thinking
but you don't notice the one that's directly behind you.
Well, okay.
Which then swings out of the alcove and places a hand on your shoulder and you can all roll initiative now.
Aye! Okay.
19. Lil got 12 plus 2 is 14.
Abby. Abby. Abby got 17 plus 3 equals 20.
20.
And Iddy.
Cal.
Iddy got a 1.
No!
Plus 2, which is 3, but it's a 1.
You have a unique talent for going one as an initiative.
I was gonna say that Eddie's like super up for a fight.
Okay, so Abby gets to go first.
I mean, am I responding to anything? Have they actually come up?
Oh, right, yeah. Or... So they all basically work in synchronicity at this point. So when the first one sits up, the other two sit up. When the first one like swings its leg around out of the alcove, the others do that as well. Because the other two are kind of on higher levels, they then have to jump down to the ground. But this one has its hand on Gretchen's shoulder from behind.
In like a threatening manner.
I mean, are there non-threatening?
For sort of helpful description things, the one Gretchen observed has a helmet and a sword. The one that was on the second tier has the remnants of a cloak hanging from their back, and the third one has a leather sort of bandolier type thing coming across their chest, which may have at one point held further weapons or medals.
The extent to which I feel like I am playing Skyrim cannot be overstated at this point.
The extent to which Jenna's knowledge of these things is based on Skyrim cannot be underestimated at this point.
Are any of them coming at me? Just because I was thinking, I don't think that Avi would like necessarily leap straight to Chad's aid or to anyone's aid if it wasn't obvious.
Well, no, the other two have like jumped down, but they haven't necessarily made any aggressive steps yet.
Okay, in that case, I don't think that I'd go straight in to try and fight them. I think I would probably back up to the door and try the handle.
Do you mean go forward to the next door? Or
oh yeah, yeah, I would. Be like, this is not a good situation, let's see if we can leave it.
The one that came alive, that was down that end, steps in front of the door.
Right.
And raises his short sword.
I think I'm just gonna try and grapple it.
Okay. So that's an opposed strength check. So you do strength and I do strength.
I rolled 17 plus 3, so 20.
Do you want to just push it up against the door and how would you go about it?
I want to shove it out of the way of the door because I'm trying to get...
Okay, you succeed. So it's like stumbles to the side.
Okay, cool. Can I try the handle of the door or am I out of activities?
You can try the handle of the door, but it's locked.
Sweet.
Chad.
I guess I grab my rapier and sort of spin around and try and kind of just get this guy with my rapier.
Okay, roll to hit.
Okay. Balls. Ah. Is that a one?
No, it's a two.
It's a two!
Okay, so it's got its grip on your hand and you didn't realize how strong that was until you tried to move. Mm-hmm. So you've like got your rapier and you've tried to like turn around to attack it, but it's kept you in place and then kind of pushed you the other way in the opposite direction to where you wanted to go. So you're like stumbling into the middle of the room. Okay, so the one that you just attempted to attack but that did not succeed, it's now their turn. And they are going to try and attack you with their short sword. They're gonna lunge forward and go for like a stomach hit from down below.
Okay.
What's your AC?
11.
They succeed.
I'm not very good at this, am I?
Maybe we're just too honest.
And you get 3 damage. Now it's the one with the red cloak. They, as I said, came from the second tier on the other side, but it's about the middle of the room. So they are going... I should really have made a map for you guys, but fuck it. Theatre of the mind. they're going to go for Iddy, because even in skeleton form, they notice that you are the biggest threat in the room. They're going to... from where they are in the room, draw a short bow and try and hit you. So they miss.
I'm happy with that.
They miss and the arrow kind of hits off one of the walls and comes back to get them in the shoulder.
Okay.
They rolled quite badly. so they've now the red cloaked one with the short bow now has an arrow sticking out of its shoulder.
This will be the second time that rather than us doing damage to our enemies, they've done damage to themselves.
We are nailing this, guys.
Yeah.
It's now Lil's turn.
Okay, Lil is going to go for the classic shillelagh. So I'm going to cast shillelagh. It's a bonus cantrip and go smack with my quarterstaff.
Okay.
I got 6 + 5 = 11.
You do not hit.
Okay.
How do you go about it?
I think Lil kind of like waves her
Which hand. One are you attacking, actually? So there's the Sword of Naked one by...
I mean naked, obviously.
Okay,
I cool. just like the
It's the one that attacked Chad.
Even better. Ideal. Yeah. I think I kind of like... I'm imagining that I wave my hand over my staff and maybe some, because it has like carved vines in it, and maybe they kind of like come to life. So there's sort of like a greenery on it that seems like magical, but maybe a bit pretty. And then she kind of just grabs the staff in the middle and whacks as hard as she can, but she really puts herself into it and like just doesn't quite make that connection. In a way that's a little bit embarrassing.
There's like the second backpack sort of swim around like a bandolier.
Okay, the one with the bandolier by the door that you've just pushed out is now going to attack you. So it's got a short sword, and it's going to not hit you at all because it's rattled from being like pushed aside.
Excellent.
It doesn't come particularly close either, and it kind of like unbalances itself again, so it topples on its bottom. On its pelvis bone. Pubic bone, whichever one.
Coccyx.
Sits back on its coccyx.
Its tailbone.
And it's Itty's go.
Yay! I feel like this whole fight is sort of a comedy of errors with everyone swinging wildly missing.
Yeah, when all the skeletons set up, Itty sort of like... their face fell. They went kind of pale and they just stood there like a numpty for a moment until the skeleton tried to shoot them and it sort of snapped out of it. And
I just like the word numpty. It's a new one.
I mean, British or British?
I love Britain. What the country.
Yeah. So now, having got over that momentary terrible dice for Itty is gonna just go for whichever one is closest.
It'll probably be the one that attacked you.
And like so,
red cloak dude.
Epically pull out both swords and just a leg.
Roll to hit.
Run forwards and like I can't remember what I'm rolling.
D20.
The old faithful.
That's 4 + 6. 7.
So 7 + 4.
Yeah.
You don't hit. So you don't hit with either of them.
Eddie just...
So how do you, like...
So Eddie, like, runs forwards. runs at the skeleton and just sort of brings both weapons in at the same time and just is a hair's breadth. It would have killed an actual person who had, like, skin. But because they're just, like, vertebrae down the back of the neck, it just sort of... The blades stick together just in front.
Yeah.
Where a normal person's throat would be. But it's a skeleton.
Yeah, you're not used to fighting skeletons.
No, we're not used to fighting skeletons. Peoples.
Did your vocal blades go snicker snap?
They went snicker snap. And it's already dead. And I didn't like it. So I went Google lumping that.
Aww. Abby, it's your go.
So the skeleton came at me and missed.
And then fell back on its coccyx. Yes. So it's, like, sitting on the floor.
Okay, I'm gonna try and hit it with my sword.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what I'm aiming to do, to be honest. I've never fought a skeleton before.
Yeah, sure.
Sword. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 15.
You hit.
Yay!
I got 5 + 3, so 8 piercing.
Okay. So it's still alive. If it could, the skeleton is looking a bit confused as well.
Does it have all of its bones? Can it be, like, missing a bone?
Like the middle of Django, where you sort of...
Yeah. So, like, you...
I'm just imagining you, like, take your sword and it goes straight through, like, the ribcage in the front.
I think that exact thing's happened
yeah.
in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, does it?
just kind of spit, and he's just like, excuse me, I'm a skeleton. And then he pushes him out of the moonlight, and then he turns back into a guy, and then he's not a skeleton, so he dies, and it's pretty cool.
You can thrust your sword through the ribcage in that manner, but you, break a few ribs along the way, so it's not too bad. And you do damage him, he's looking a bit confused. With skeletons, it's difficult to, have any markers for how damaged they are, because, I mean, they're already skeletons.
The skeletons actively look confused.
It's looks around in a confused manner.
I'm just trying to,
It doesn't have eyebrows.
Yeah.
Just I love how you're play-acting this for a podcast.
I know.
Try and imagine...
It's for us, Millie.
Try and imagine a, stumbling, disorientated skeleton.
Okay.
We're trying.
Yeah. So, Chad.
Okay, so, about these skeletons. So, we've established they can be confused.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be distracted?
Probably.
What
are you gonna do?
I'm going to use thaumaturgy to throw my voice a little bit and yell at his ear really loud. I just want to yell at his ear on the other side of his head.
It spins around.
And he kind of does a bit of a what? And then I come in with my rapier and give it another shot.
Okay.
Give him a bit of a stab. Stabby stab. Stab.
Roll to hit.
Okay. Come on, Chad. Six
plus
3, 9. Please tell me I didn't just go running screaming past the
Did I? You do not hit the skeleton.
Charge! Whiff. Okay, so I'm useless in fights, is what we're finding out.
As a thing, I think most cantrips, like thaumaturgy, are actions, not bonus actions. And so I think if you cast thaumaturgy, that's your turn.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Theoretically.
Okay, well then.
It's been done now. And either way, you didn't succeed at anything, so it's fine.
No, it's totally fine. I just again, angry dude bros on the internet. I don't want them to be like, oh my god, you took two, you're the worst. It's because you don't have a Y chromosome.
It's because you have a vagina. You pulled a second turn out of it. Roll the
bro. Okay, it's distracted bro skeleton's turn. Because he's naked.
All naked people are bros.
It's true.
I bro out in the shower every time.
Yeah.
That's the thing I maybe didn't need to know.
Me and a red solo cup. Having a great time.
Okay, so it's the naked one's turn. And it's now sort of a little bit miffed because it turned around and there was nothing fucking there. But it's not intelligent enough to analyze this.
And I think I've kind of gone running past it in the other direction, so it's still not looking at me. It's kind of and I went poof. So
like the ones, I don't know, skeletons in movies. Yeah. It does the thing where it's sort of that abnormal movement with the jerkiness. And it jerks around to still face you again, so it's gonna attack you again.
What a sound to put in our listeners' ears.
And twice now.
It hits you with its short sword. You only take 2 damage. It's the red cloaked one that has its short bow out. Were you engaged in combat with it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so it takes out its short sword and attacks you. What was your AC?
13.
It hits you.
Okay.
So short sword, you take 1 damage. So it just kind of jabs forward, but basically scrapes your arm or your side in a very shallow manner. So you're meh.
So
silly. It's now Lil's turn.
Okay, I am going to try to hit something. Fuck's sake! I've got 10 in total.
In total?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't hit. Which one were you attacking, actually?
The naked one.
Is it the naked one? So you and Chad are both engaged with the naked one.
Yes. We are both engaged with the naked one.
It avoids your blade, basically. The bandolier one is going to try and attack you again, Avi. It does not hit you. It like stumbles forwards, but kind of slices down in front of your body. And it's now Iddy's go.
Wow. Iddy wants to try and kick the skeleton.
Oh right, melee damage.
Yeah, like in the center of a chest, epically.
Okay.
And to sort of kick it out the way with you two. I think Iddy's thinking, let's see if we can get away from these curtains through that door.
Yeah. You want to This Is Sparta, the skeleton?
Yes. So I want to weapons out, try and kick it.
Just roll, see if you hit.
8 plus 4.
4, so 12. You can hit with your kick.
Ah.
Good. We hit something.
So it deals 5 damage.
Yeah, probably should have just smashed it.
It has a vulnerability to bludgeoning. The skeleton crumbles into its various parts on the floor.
Yay! Okay, so if you put their swords down to their sides and just sort of, sparted the heck out of it. Stomped it into dust. No, just lifted a leg and with a sort of kicked it straight in the middle of the ribcage and it crumbled to dust.
You did get you This Is Sparta moment.
I did.
Yeah, so Abby,
Okay, so I kind of see what just happened there and think that that looks like quite a good idea. So I think I'm gonna try and like kick out its legs, see if I can do some damage.
Okay, sure, roll to hit.
11 plus 3 is 14.
So you hit, you succeed.
Sweep the legs!
I sort of like crouch down, try and kick its legs out from under it. Like kind of secretly hoping that maybe they'll just sort of
so just like sweeping it into a circle, like sweeping your leg in a circle around the floor.
Yeah.
You knock their legs out from it literally. Like they disconnect from the rest of the body, and then the rest of the body collapses on the floor as well in its parts. So you have successfully killed the one with the bandolier. Yeah. Well done. So there is one left.
One of us will hit.
This time. So, it's Chad's go.
Okay, Chad, in a blaze of what may or may not end up being glory, is gonna try and stab this guy again. 13.
You hit!
Yay!
Like, seeing the other ones defeat their skeletons has, like, given you a confidence boost, and you, like, go in and actually hit. So, roll for damage.
Plus 1 piercing damage. So eight. Okay, so I've just seen Iddy Sparta a guy into dust. I just saw Avi literally take someone's legs out from under them. And then they crumbled into dust. And so I kind of turn around and I kind of like, for the loot! And I go for it, give him a big old stabby stab.
Mm-hmm.
Stab.
You knock an arm off.
Hey!
Hey!
I'll take it.
Okay.
Little disappointed that he didn't also then crumble into dust, because that would have been cool, but it's okay, I'll get over it eventually.
So, when you attacked the skeleton, it was actually facing the other way, because it was reacting to Lil's attempted attack on it, and it's going to maintain its barrage on Lil. So it's going to, like, notice its lost arm, I guess, but it's just going to, like, keep on attacking you with its short sword. It hits.
Really?
Yeah.
But 15!
It is aware that it's like the last of its comrades at the moment. But it only makes 1 damage.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's falling apart at this point. Bits of it are on the floor. It is Lil's go.
Okay. Lil has failed twice with the quarterstaff. Undeterred, Lil believes in herself and is gonna go again.
What did you roll?
15 plus 5 is 20.
You hit!
Yay!
If you don't kill this thing, I'm gonna be really annoyed.
8!
Well done. How do you dispatch the third skeleton?
I think, so Lil has taken a swing and missed. Lil has taken another swing and missed. And Lil kind of like going around, keeping the momentum from the previous swing, just hurls her body into it. And when she hits, she's so excited, she does a little jump up and down because she wasn't totally sure she had it in her.
Do you like baseball bat the guy's
head
off?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm definitely thinking of like a home run.
Like over the back wall, skull.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The crowd goes wild.
Yeah. It's over the green monster and it's out. Yeah.
I'm very much enjoying the synchronized
Americanism. Yeah. Touchdown. That's right. We're very invested in this. This guy's been a bit of a dick to us, and we both suck at fighting, apparently.
Okay, so you're in this room. The door at the other end is locked, and you have defeated three skeletons, but you have already surmised that there's no sort of treasure to be had in this room.
Is there anything else cool that we might want to be looking at? Like information?
Like all the other skeletons?
No. I mean, you probably got a cursory view of the bottom level of skeletons, so you're welcome to investigate the other ones if you want to climb up and have a look inside their alcoves.
Eddie doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Eddie's just going to go straight to the door.
Chad might have wanted to do it, but Chad's back at four hit points and is not very happy with his choices.
I'm saying tap Abby on the shoulder, but probably not. And just be like, can you open this?
Can I open this?
So it's locked.
Oh, yeah, we had that conversation. Yeah. Sorry, but is this something that I can pick?
You can try.
Okay, so 11 plus 7, 18.
Okay, so it's a little bit of a struggle. It takes you a little bit of time, but you do successfully unlock the door.
Thank you for listening. As usual, if you like our podcast, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It really does make a difference. We hope that you are telling everyone you meet about us too. You can help us find other folks who would enjoy listening by sharing our page on Facebook and Instagram at dungeons.and.dragons and Twitter at dungeonsdnd. You can also find fun tidbits about our players and their characters on our website, dungeonsanddragons.com. Listen on for the Jargons episode about leveling up if you're interested. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks for more fun times with the Dungeons. Today, we're going to look at leveling up. Technically, our characters level up between this episode and the next one. We don't really mention it properly during play, but you'll notice the effects in episode 6, so this should ease the transition. As each character proceeds through gameplay, they level up to represent the experience they have gained through the actions they have taken and encounters they have faced. You might be wondering why I haven't mentioned experience points or XP, and that's because there are different ways for characters to level up, and not all of these use experience points, though this is the most common way. Leveling, which is based on experience points, requires that each element of the game has a certain number of XP allocated to it. Opening a simple door might be 10 XP, defeating a skeleton might be 50 XP, etc. Side note, yes I say skeletons, it's a flaw, sue me. I have had DMs who also allocate XP for general game and roleplay as well. Once the players accrue a certain amount of XP, they can level up, as per the grid in the player's handbook. The higher the level, the harder to move to the next level, but also, challenges and encounters are higher level too, so have higher rewards. In Dungeons & Dragons, we'll be using a leveling method called Milestones. This means that I, the DM, decide whether players level up based on DM-determined achievements or predetermined narrative, milestones, rather than encounters. This is a more flexible way of leveling and allows for an adventure which is less based on violent encounters. The Dungeons and I agreed that wasn't the kind of game we wanted to play, so Milestones suits us better than XP. There are pros and cons to both methods, and it can depend on what kind of game you want to play. If XP can be gained through killing things, then the XP method can sometimes lead to murder hobo characters who kill everything in sight. Of course, depending on your game, that might be exactly what you want. It's also good to note that there will be wide variations on these, which are personal to campaigns and DMs. The most important thing is to discuss the leveling method with your players/DM, and make sure that everyone is happy with the method chosen and the kind of game that is being played. It's also perfectly legitimate to change during the game. We started by counting XP, and then realised that milestones would probably work better for us. I called the level up here a pity level, which it might have been under XP, but is less full of pity if I use milestones. Leveling up at this point makes sense for at least one of the characters based on their personal development. So, what happens when a character levels up? As with most things in Dungeons & Dragons, there are a lot of specific rules which are determined by class, and as usual, I am not going to go into each of those. First of all, the character increases their hit points by a number determined by their class. The example we used last time was my fighter, who rolls a d10 plus constitution whenever they level and increases their max hit points by that result. Note that leveling up does not equal healing up to max hit points. If leveling up does not happen during a rest, then the character remains on their current hit points, but when they rest, they regain up to their new maximum. Next, the player would check their class description for leveling features. Using the fighter as an example, at first level they have two features, a fighting style and second wind. When they level up to 2, they get action surge, and when they move to level 3, they choose a martial archetype. Except for druids who choose their archetype circle at level 2, most classes will choose an archetype at level 3, and their leveling features will mostly progress based on this choice. Narratively, this means that a character has chosen a specialization or shows a particular kind of ambition. It is not possible to multi-archetype in the way that one can multi-class, and that's a story for another day. Another leveling feature is gaining ability score improvements, meaning they can add points to their basic skill scores, strength, dex, etc., and narratively get better at those skills. There are also some levels with generic class features rather than archetype-based features. I feel like I'm trailing off in the middle of a thing here, but hopefully this was helpful in some way. Maybe I'll touch on some more elements of leveling up when the characters reach other milestones. As usual, this only touches the surface, and if you have any questions, please let us know and we'll be happy to try and explain. Next episode, we'll be doing a listener-requested Jargons on Traps. See you then.